Hey guys, it is the Spark, Jada Stone, and you're watching the OVW Podcast, and you better tune in because I'm here. Get it? Got it? Good.
Welcome to the OVW Podcast Overdrive. I am Tiny Brian, and joining me as always is Victor.
Hello, Tiny Brian.
Hello. How are you today, sir?
I am fine and dandy.
I am, today we're going to review all the action and weirdness from OVW Overdrive Season 3, Episode 4. Which it came out on March 12th, 2024. But first, you know, this has now turned into our place where we can kind of talk to the fans. You know, Brian and Jackman have their own spot.
Okay.
And now we have a spot. So I want to talk a little bit about Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, okay.
Yeah, we went to Comic-Con over the weekend. And,
you did.
And, well, I did. You were supposed to go, and then you couldn't raise anybody's interest to go.
Outside of the OVW guys, there really wasn't a whole lot of people that I was interested in. Like, you guys keep talking about some person you saw, and I'm like, no clue.
Yo Gabba Gabba guy
or something?
Yeah.
No clue.
No, I agree. He's also, you know, we're not that kind of stoners, and it's not that kind. You know, we're too old for that show. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. That was not the highlight of my weekend, but did go on Thursday and went on Saturday again and spent most of Saturday talking to some people who we've not actually talked to for the show.
I heard you talk to Doug.
We spent about 20 minutes with Doug Basham.
Good.
And learned a lot. Brian actually handled those interviews. He's in the producer chair this evening. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
So, Brian, you went to Comic-Con more than any of us. You were there, what, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Yeah, I was there on Friday, but it was really just to figure out like a game plan, like where OVW booth was, and just try to figure out where we were going to be so I could tell you guys on Saturday where I was going to be. And I was there all day Saturday, and I was there for part of the day on Sunday too, so I suppose so, I was.
So I heard there was a little, because we ran out of passes because I expected Victor to use his passes to go on Sunday. So I understand you had to get a little creative in your way of accessing the con on Saturday.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. So Victor knows that every once in a while I have these really, really good days where I just have some incredible luck that just happens or just falls in my lap out of nowhere. Most notably, like a lot of concert tickets on the radio. Just a lot of being in the right place at the right time. So
just right off the top of my head, I've seen Metallica, Bob Dylan, and Rush, thanks to Mr. Hines and his luck. But go ahead, Brian.
That was really the first thing I knew about you, was that you were insanely lucky when it came to concert tickets and memorabilia. So.
And it's two times, wasn't it, for Rush?
Yes, twice. I mean, there's more concerts.
I saw him once for Rush because of you. I saw Rush once because of you.
That was just off the top of my head.
Okay, yeah, there's probably more, but and the Bob Dylan one ties into the Kentucky Derby, so maybe we'll get into that one another time. But this time, I picked my son up so I could take him to the con. He got a Saturday-Sunday pass for his birthday this year.
Shout out to Trey.
And he and his friends went on Saturday, and then they all went back with his mom, and then I met her on Sunday and picked him up, and we went to the con again. And Saturday was a busy day. It was there for a long time, a lot of walking around, was really tired at the end of the day. And he hits me with, "So can we meet at 10? And I'm like, "Yeah, we could probably do that." And then I realized it was the time change, and it's like, "Ugh, that's gonna suck." So everybody was kind of dragging, getting out, and we decided that we were going to try to get breakfast first. And we stopped at Villainous just so I could show him what it was like. And we looked at the brunch menu, and we thought, no, we really don't have that kind of time. Let's go ahead and go to the con, and then maybe we can get through that, or we'll spend a little extra time there. So I went, and I drove to the convention center. Dropped him off, and I was circling around the lot to try to find a place to park. And I drove around for probably 20 minutes or so because traffic was bad, and I finally found a place about a block up and a block over from the convention center. So I get all my stuff, and I'm getting ready to go and meet him there, and he calls me, and he said, "Have you bought a ticket yet?" And I was like, "No, why?" And he said, "Well, I don't know if I want to stay much longer. And I said, okay, well, you know, hang out for a minute, decide what you want to do. I'll just stay here in the car. And a couple minutes go by, and he said, yeah, I think I want to stay. And I said, okay, well, I'll head up that way. And so I'm walking along, and I noticed this sign for an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet. And I thought, oh, that sounds really good. And it's right behind the con. And so I call him, and he said, yeah, that sounds good. And he meets me outside. So we're walking to get some breakfast, and I find $10 on the ground, which,
well, that's always nice. Always good.
Which was awesome. And we went, and we had a great breakfast, and then we were...
I wondered what happened to that $10.
It's funny. I was missing 10 too. I think you owe us both $10.
Give each other $10. But we're walking back, and I was fully prepared to buy a pass for that day. And I see all these people leaving with their stuff, and it's obvious that they're just making their way to their car, and they're not going to go back in. So I stopped a guy, and I asked him if he was done for the day, and he said yes. And I asked if he would be willing to sell me his badge. And he takes it off and gives it to me, and I said, how much do you want for it? And he said, just slip me something.
He slipped him that to you.
So I gave him the $10.
Okay.
That is pretty good, Brian.
Yeah.
That's classic Heinz yeah. luck right
it,
there.
It was perfect.
All right. So that's always nice. We do have – so, yeah, Heinz is actually in my seat, and I'm kind of in his. It's weird that we changed places, but there's always a Brian in these seats, apparently.
Apparently.
But let's go ahead and get into this episode of Overdrive. So off the very top of this, I noticed that they've changed the numbering around a little bit. Like last week, I'm pretty sure it said it was season 3, episode 74.
It was.
On my notes.
And now it says season 3, episode 4.
Which is it's the fourth time they've done Overdrive of this new stint. So that makes a lot more sense
right.
than 74 episodes into something. And once again, Dance and Stevie J. You know what's funny is I have almost that exact outfit.
But he's back.
Yeah, he is back. He's arrived. But like the milky white coat he's wearing with the...
You do have a coat like that.
I have a coat like that. I have my Hawaiian shirts aren't that color yellow, but I could get one. So like, I could put a Dance in Stevie J.
All you need is that chain and some manly chest hair and you'd be on it.
I would have to import the manly chest hair. So, yes, they spend this whole episode with Brian trying his best to talk Stevie J out of continuing to staying married to Al Snow's mom. I don't know how this is going to pay off, but I hope it pays off in some way because it's a little weird.
I don't quite get it. A lot of times it leaves me like, what are you talking about again? But, you know, whatever, it's their segment, but I'm a little confused on what the hell they're talking about.
Well, as I mentioned last week, they did the roast of Al Snow at the end of the year.
I realize, but you need to have context. And
I agree.
Not.
They should have a recap. They need if they're going to talk about it, they need a better recap. You're probably right.
Yeah, but they just picked up something that happened like 8 months ago, and it's like, oh, we're just going to pick this up. It's like, no, we're not all old friends here. That's not how that works. You need to give me some context.
We're brand new watchers, guys. Come on, help us out. So we do open with a triple threat match here. What's great is there was a, if you look on the OVW's social media feed, you'll see a little interaction with these three where Orion grabs a known good guy, Voice of the Valley,
Eric Cornish,
has him hold the mic while he does a classic sort of Mean Gene, Brian Hines-esque sort of interview. Then Ragnar kind of interrupts him, and when they're about to come to blows, the door behind everybody opens, and there's ZDP. chases Cornish away.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the three. This is it was a great match.
It was a good match. They all put on a good show, and normally I have to say this again, Orion, the man has to look, but I can tell you, man, I don't know if there's a better worker in here that makes. I don't know so much that it's his working; it's just that he makes. Give or take, fall or the, you know, whichever end he's on, it looks good when he's involved.
That's very true. He has, and you know, a little behind the scenes knowledge, he is a Disney fan.
Oh, is he?
If you follow his social media feed, you'll see that his girlfriend, which we all know that's Ellie,
right?
They go to Disney parks and have encounters with Goofy and. They are the adult Disney fan, as it were.
Some might say that's fucking goofy. But anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, they but good match here. Remind me, and Brian, do you remember was Ragnar in the scramble that they had at the Country Boy Show?
At the Country Boy Show? I don't
think so.
I don't think Ragnar was part of that.
I don't know.
I don't recall right off.
But you see a lot of shades of that same, because it's, you know, it's this Rush Division level folks, and it's a lot of the, in fact, we even see ZDP do his head on the turnbuckle maneuver, his signature move, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it ends up, we and of course, ZDP lives by the chasing of Eric Cornish and dies by the chasing of Eric Cornish.
And he chased Eric Cornish again.
Like all the way out of the ring. Right. He does, away from ringside. They will eventually be back. And ZDP does end up getting hurt. And if you notice, like look at him, his legs in the air. Like, yeah, if you look at that, that's how they find him a little later, so.
Yeah, he don't look healthy right there.
I know there was a doctor who examined him a few weeks ago. I certainly hope that doctor can find a way to help young ZDP, because seems like a nice young man, at least sure maybe used to be a nice young man.
You sure that doctor wasn't Luke's mom? Oh, sorry.
So, yes, now that I'm here on camera, we will acknowledge. I got to find that lady's name out and maybe buy her a couple of beers or something. So, yes, the medical staff comes out to help ZDP after this match. And Orion does get the win here. He does. Pretty well earned. Nice job here. And, of course, the walks arrogantly out of the room, as Orion does. Ragnar's okay. He kind of... But, yeah, we've got ZDP is literally looks like he had some sort of hardware error. He is frozen in midair with his hands up and his legs up. And, yes, there is Luke's mom, apparently. She is, for the record, she is not Luke's mom. Once again, I apologize for confusing her with Luke's mom, having now met both.
If that's Luke's mom, then his dad must have been Powder. Or Adam Revolver, yeah.
Same difference, phone. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very, but, very pale.
Luke's not going to appreciate us saying that his dad is
Adam Revolver. I would say not, no.
So, Brian, in between these matches, Brian tries several things to get Dance and Stevie J to break up with...
Mrs. Snow.
Yeah, and then they recap very quickly, Rise, and talk about everything that happened there. And we get into our second bout, which is one of my favorites in the locker room, who I think well underrated is DeGatt Bundles.
Oh, you like DeGatt?
I like DeGatt just fine. I don't understand what his, because he's got that orange and red camo on in this match, and I'm not sure who he's hiding from with that. I don't understand what environment you are camouflaged in when you are wearing that outfit.
Isn't he a vet?
I don't know if he's a veteran or not. He has that,
he looks like a vet to me.
Well, he often wears kind of that military.
That's why I guess that's why it's in my mind, because he looks like a vet.
So indeed,
he may be a veteran.
He does.
That might be why he does that.
Could be. We'll have to get him on and have an interview with him.
But Brian and Jackman can ask him that.
Make Brian and Jackman ask him. Pretty great match here. Jason Hendricks is. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's the guy who, like, his whole gimmick is that he's on drugs. Right, he's like the party boy dance guy. Right, Brian?
I was thinking that was...
Or is that somebody different?
I was thinking that was somebody different.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know much about Jason Hendricks.
I don't have the thing pulled up in front of me, so I can't really see, and I'm just trying to pull off the top of my head.
So, yeah, Jason Hendricks does lose to the
poster boy.
Here. Yeah, he's the poster boy. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy I'm thinking of wears like a white shirt to the ring
and a necktie around his head. Yeah,
you're right, and that's a different dude. Jason is, yeah, it even says poster boy on his butt, so good for you, Jason Hendricks. Pretty good match here as well.
Yeah, it was good. Jason Hendricks put on a solid performance, but at the end of the day, DeGatt was just a little too big and a little bit too strong.
So yeah, pretty good match, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I always love to see DeGatt in action, especially love when DeGatt's not just jobbing for somebody, when he actually gets to pull out the win.
Yes.
So great for that. Next segment here, after some more of the ridiculous thing about Stevie marrying Al's mom is we get into the interview portion with some familiar faces to us. To us, that being Tusks and Chains.
Tusks and Chains.
Donovan Cecil and TW3. I will, as a Brian on this podcast, I am required to say that this is the year of the mammoth.
It is.
Indeed.
Donovan is wearing his new mammoth t-shirt, which I like quite a bit. And I'm surprised how, you know, we've had them here in the here in studio. Brian and Jackman interviewed them. We got to hang out with them a little bit on the day of the second show.
Yes.
Manchester.
Here, Manchester. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. So we got to hang out with them then. They're so good on microphone together.
They are. Donovan is painfully shy.
Sure.
And I think that T-Dub helps him a lot. Because T-Dub is not shy.
No, not one little
bit.
And I
think that's another way that not only are they kind of like, you know, compare and contrast a little bit, they clash a little bit, but at the same time, you know, you got the big bruiser, you got the athletic smaller guy that's built, and T-Dub's a little bit more outgoing, and it helps with Donovan's shyness. They're making a really, really solid team right now.
It's like a buddy cop movie, really.
A buddy cop?
You know, the Lethal Weapon kind of combination. You know what
sure.
I mean? You know, the two people from two different worlds coming together to solve crimes.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love this interview. Their interview is coming real soon in our feed, so keep an eye out for that.
Ours is better. I haven't even heard it yet. I know it's better.
Thank you, Victor, for your...
You know, just my opinion.
But I do love that they get these chances to do this on Overdrive.
I'm
glad to have Overdrive back doing this work. So then the next thing that happens is we open the OVW vault.
I really appreciate this segment.
This was great.
This is awesome.
I enjoyed this quite a bit. Let me give you the details on what we're seeing here. So this is from Clash at the Bluegrass, which was the pay-per-view from March of 2018. Mm-hmm. This is actually technically one of the OVW versus Impact pay-per-views.
With the sign down in the front of the ring.
So, and if you listen, the announcers say that at one point, too, who are talking. So,
and this had to be a lumberjack match because all the other wrestlers around the ring.
So, I don't know if it's technically a lumberjack match or not, but when I looked it up on Cage Match, that's the stats for it specifically, so I could tell, I just want to announce this. This is OVW heavyweight champion at the time, Tony Gunn. I don't think he was known as Shotgun Tony Gunn at this point. Versus Sammy Callahan, which I assume is somebody who was in Impact at that time.
I think I've heard Jackman talk about Sammy Callahan once or twice. Maybe. I know the name.
So I do recognize Davis Arena, and it is so different than even how it was when we first started. I did very much enjoy this. This is some great wrestling. And, it just kind of says that each of them brought, like, five people to the ring with them.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really say there's any weird stipulations. It's just like, you know, we're going to come out there, you know, wrestling kind of confrontation stuff. And we get little snaws from all of them. But all in all, it's a pretty clean match.
It is.
And it's weird to see Tony Gunn in green. Somehow that just is not a color I associate with Tony Gunn.
He was a little bit more toned back then, too.
A little bit
more toned, and his beard was a little smaller.
Yeah, and I don't feel like he's doing that. Like, nowadays, you know, when I see him, I think kind of, you know, a variation on the Stone Cold gimmick. Just, you know, I'm a dude from
The roughneck, redneck kind of thing, yeah. But you don't see it as much.
That is not what I see when I see this guy doing this stuff. So, yeah, and they all kind of get in and they all get a little spot, which is nice. And the ref is unconscious for about 45 minutes in this match as it's just chaos. And, like, Cash Flow was in this. And because I read every name, like, all the – because Cage Match will tell you all the workers who were in a particular event. So I read the whole list, and I recognized Cash Flow and Big Zo.
Oh, Big Zo, okay.
Big Zo was all, it was on an undercard match, both of them. But, they were the only ones I recognized. And here we get, Tony pins this guy, Sammy, like three times when there's no ref. They go through the announce table. It's just everything.
It is, and I fully admit that. I don't know who most of these people are, but it was a solid match though, and like you said, they both looked great in it, and it, it was it was cool to go back to the vault.
Yeah.
I hope they do more of that.
Yeah, I could deal with whole shows of just let's watch three matches from the 30-year history of OVW, even though they don't have access to all of it because OVW developmental or WWE developmental, that
they
was
got
all,
enough for.
But they've still got 30 years
of
matches.
Yeah, they got
matches.
Enough for plenty of episodes.
So we get down to our main event of Overdrive. I guess you would call it that. It is the last one. We get Layla Gray with Ellie versus Freya the Slayer with TT.
Yep.
So it's starting to, and you can correct me if you don't think this is the case, but it feels like I'm starting to see a lot of, if I don't see like women's tag teams, I'm starting to see a lot of tag team shaped groups. Mm-hmm. Because like the Bad Girls Club now kind of just nicely breaks apart into two tag teams.
For now.
Yeah, for now. And then we have Freya coming out with TT. Mm-hmm. We've got the American Dream Girls. Is that what they call themselves?
I don't think that's
America's
Sweethearts.
America's Sweethearts.
I don't think
Brian.
That's a thing anymore because...
They went away completely.
We watched it at Manchester and we haven't seen it since. And both ladies have wrestled since then.
But not together.
And they were not together and they weren't wearing those matching outfits. So I think that lasted two times.
Well, that's weird to actually give them a name and then be like, you know what, no.
I don't know. You tell me. I mean,
I think it's a scheduling conflict or something.
Could be.
Because the one girl is Sophia Rose and the other one is the dark-headed girl. What's her name?
Lady Bird.
Oh, okay. Maybe I got Lady Bird confused with somebody else.
Yeah, I think you saw Riley Matthews and thought of Lady Bird.
That's who I'm getting confused
Yeah, she's
with.
Another one of the new.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see the American, and it's the Sweethearts, by the way. Maybe we'll see them again. I hope. Because they're a good solid team.
Yeah, they are, and I'm still feeling like we're building towards some sort of tag team division for women here. At least I hope so.
We hope so. Yeah,
and I feel like this is part of that. But we've even got like Guitari, as we're apparently required to call her now.
What is the deal with that? Why is she? What did that say that again?
Guitar like Ari, but
a guitar,
a guitar for Ari, Guitari.
That's dumb.
Nobody emailed me to ask my approval for it. So
Guitari.
Guitari is what she's known now that she is hanging out with known guitar person Carson Drake.
Yeah.
I mean he basically stole Jeff Jarrett's bit and then thinks he can rename people based on it. But apparently we're getting a Mitch tag match. Him with Guitari and Chalance Royale versus, you know, the Ron Rockette trio.
Right, at the March Mayhem.
Yeah, so you know, again, another women's tag-shaped things just with guys tacked on.
I agree with Jackman on, I hope that they don't let the Rockettes make Guitari and Chalance look stupid.
Well, yeah, because they're obviously the better workers.
Because those two are great wrestlers. Guitari and Chalante is one of the best workers in the business. And if they make let them two other two girls make them look stupid, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, I mean, I have now seen so they were both now, of the Rockettes were in the Women's Royal Rumble 2 years now, running.
Unless Crystal and Katie come out and just like lay down the SmackDown, then I'll eat my words. But I just don't see that one coming.
Like, suddenly surprising everyone, they were studying at the Nightmare Factory something.
They've obviously had some lessons because they appeared in the Nightmare Rumble. But
yeah, in 2 years, they both combined for about 1 minute of actual ring time.
Right, otherwise,
Nightmare Rumble.
They're kind of, no offense, but they're kind of more arm candy than anything.
Well, yeah, they're valets.
Yeah, they're valets, exactly.
You know, a fine tradition of that in professional wrestling. But this match was...
Two of my favorite girls in this whole organization is Layla and Freya.
And such a great match between them. We've not really seen Layla doing a lot of actual wrestling recently, so it's good to see her. I guess she, you know, it feels like... We see them doing bits in the ring with their cash guns and their whatnot, but it is nice to remember that these are actual really good women's professional wrestlers and are absolutely able to hold their own, and it's fun to watch. And I'm gonna have to produce on the fly here.
Uh-oh, are you buzzing, buddy?
A little bit.
Uh-oh,
but it's a little different. But we'll survive. So yeah, I believe. Forgot to actually mark it.
Oh, you don't know who wins? I do.
Pretty sure it's Freya, isn't it?
No, Layla wins.
Layla wins?
I think so.
Well, we just saw Freya hit her signature move.
She did, but I'm pretty sure Layla ends here to win in the end because per your request, I did watch this last night.
Oh, we do appreciate you doing that. Here we see TT getting
TT.
Yeah.
The Island Girl.
Yep, you're right. There it is. See?
Layla wins.
Layla wins.
And she should, because she's the baddest of the bad girls.
Yeah. She's the best.
She is.
She's the best.
Why do you say it that way?
Because their theme song goes, I'm the best.
Oh, okay.
Bad girls, say ah.
All right.
That's how it ends.
Okay.
All right. And I guess that's how this episode ends. So, yeah. Again, great matches. Love to see them.
Here comes Brian and Stevie again.
So yes.
You guys, hopefully you'll wrap up the storyline soon. Otherwise, y'all need a little bit of help. But we love you guys, though. We love you guys. We appreciate you, Brian Kennison and Stevie J. You both are wonderful guys. But this bit is weird.
We got to get you some more cool things to do. That's all we're saying. The OVW podcast Overdrive, the 10th Carney Award nominated unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling, is produced by Blacklight Moon Productions at Nuthouse Studios in Lexington, Kentucky. The OVW podcast broadcast team, who are not here today, is Jackman Oates and Brian Hines. Our studio engineer and editor is Malachi Woodard, executive producer.
Malachi P.S. Woodard.
Malachi P.S. Woodard. As his dad, it feels weird to call him
Pure Sexy. It doesn't matter. You're not his dad here. You're his co-worker.
I am his executive producer. That's me, Tiny Brian Woodard. And the senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. After watching Wrestlers on Netflix, visit ovwpodcast.com/podcasters to find all episodes of our unofficial Wrestlers After Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate us 5 stars, and give us a review. You can also follow at OVW Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, Threads. We occasionally send up some smoke signals that you could maybe check out.
Are we on Reddit?
No, we are not on Reddit. We could get on Reddit, I guess, but we don't really. People could ask us anything.
Is Reels still a thing?
Reels is
not a thing.
Well, it's a sub part of Instagram and Facebook. So yes, technically we are on Reels.
Okay, well, I like Instagram probably better than any of them. So check us out on Instagram.
Instagram is Victor's preferred social media platform, folks. Have a great day.
See you.